But if you would turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, of the chapter that we read together, and verse 24. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, and verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Well, we have this interesting parable for us today, and one of two parables, well, one of many parables that we read together. But at length, we read this parable and the parable of the sower. And they are parables which the Lord Jesus Christ explained. And so we have no doubt about what they mean for us this morning. There is no doubt about their interpretation, because the Lord Jesus Christ tells us exactly what each thing represents in the parable. And just to remind you, that word parable is a compound word, and it means para, you know, the word para, paramilitary, beside, and ballo, to throw. So to throw two things beside each other. One, we have a story, and on the other side, we have the heavenly meaning. And so only in Matthew we have this parable of the wheat, what we call the parable of the wheat and the tares. And it's a parable that is seemingly about agriculture, and a very straightforward parable in many respects. A man plants some seed in his field, and he sowed good seed in his field. And then when he slept, the enemy came and they sowed tares among the wheat. Some people would say weeds, but not really, tares among the wheat, and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up, as it would do, it brought forth fruit and appeared. But then at the same time, there appeared some tares also. And the people that were looking at the field, the servants, came and said unto him, How has this happened? You sowed good seed in your field, and yet we have tares. And the man knew exactly what had happened. An enemy has done this, he says in verse 28. So the servants say, Well, shall we just go and remove all the tares? And the owner said, No, we won't do that. We won't gather up the tares, lest you root up the wheat with them at the same time. Let them both grow together, and then at the end, at the harvest time, we will separate them. And so we have a very straightforward parable of agriculture. And we hear a lot, don't we, about agricultural issues. We hear a lot about green issues. It's been much in the news, the environment and the challenges that it faces, and we face. And one would think that if we could solve the environmental issues, if we could solve the issues of climate change, that would be it. This is the big problem. This is the issue of the day. And yet, really, this parable tells us that there's something much more important than that, important as that might be. There are some things much more important than that. And this parable explains so much about what we see in life today. It explains so much about ourselves. And it gives us an insight into what is most important, what will happen at the end of the world, and what is happening right before our eyes. And so we have the parable of the wheat and the tares. Well, we've been through the parable from an agricultural point of view. We might understand that, but I wonder if we really understand what it means to us. And the Lord Jesus, as I said, explain the parable for us, and so we read from verse 37. Jesus answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Jesus is speaking of himself. He is the one who sows the good seed. And as the farmer sowed his wheat, his grain in the field, and it would be what he wanted to see and what he wanted to grow, so the Lord Jesus Christ sows good seed in the field. And we read in verse 38 that the field is the world. And the field is the world in the sense that the field depicts the world in which we live. And carrying on verse 38 there, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now, this word tares, you might think it's weeds. You might think that something entirely different is growing in the field. Something easily recognizable. Now, you know, don't you, in your own field, in your own garden, you know the difference between something that's supposed to be there, usually, and something that's not supposed to be there. It's obvious. You know bindweed when you see it. Oh, yeah, but doesn't bindweed look a little bit like runner bean? And some weeds can look a lot like something else. But sometimes we know the difference. Sometimes it's more difficult to see. And sometimes one man's weed is another man's flower. And I remember once I went to a garden center and I bought some plant that I thought looked nice. And I got home and I planted it and I said, look, Mum, I planted a nice plant there. And she said, what have you done that for? I said, well, it looks nice. And she said, well, it's catmint and it's a weed. It will spread. You'll never get rid of it. Well, I managed to get rid of it because I managed to get rid of most things that we plant in our garden. But nevertheless, to me, it was a nice plant. To her, it was a weed. And in this case, we have the sower sowing his grain and at the same time, an enemy sowing tares. And the experts tell us, and I'm no agriculturalist, I'm no farmer, but the experts tell us that this seed, the seed of the tares, is almost indistinguishable in the early phases from that of the wheat. And so these things can grow side by side and nobody would know the difference. It's only at the time of harvest when you can really be sure to be told the difference. And so we don't have here a field with one thing and another right from the beginning. We have a field full of things that look a bit similar to start with and for a good while, and yet are very different things. And I mentioned this to a farmer that I know recently, and he said, yeah, you could be sowing oats and you could have wild oats and they would be very similar to start with and could be very similar, and you'd have to be an expert to know, but it would be obvious right at the end. And it's a similar thing we have here. The parable of the wheat and the tares, two things growing in the ground, and they are very, very different, but might for a time look quite similar. And that's an interesting concept for us, isn't it? Because this is a picture of the world that we live in today. Many things could be, it could be today that you are in this ground, you are in this world, planted in this world. And it may be that you could look similar. You could look a little bit like a Christian. You could go to church and you could read your Bible, perhaps. You may even attempt to pray. You may talk about the faith as if you are a believer. And yet it could be. It could be that you are not. And deep down inside, you have never come in repentance and faith. You have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for yourselves. And so you might be in this world and in this field, as it were. You might be a plant and you might be going through life, even convincing yourself perhaps that you're a Christian. And yet you are not. You are something different. And it's amplified for us, isn't it, in the parable of the sower that we read together as well. It was a long reading, but I wanted to read the parable of the sower too, because there we have four types of soil, four types of ground, and the seed is planted in the ground. And you know, we read there that some seed is planted or planted into the ground and it has a shallow root. It has a shallow depth. You know, if you have an inch of soil or something like that and you plant some seed, well, it tries to go down. And because it cannot go down, because it hits some rock, it shoots up because it's trying to establish its root system and it cannot do that. So it just shoots up. And therefore, it has no root system. But for a time, it looks good. For a time, it looks impressive, perhaps. And we have this explanation of the Lord Jesus Christ telling us, for a time, they receive the word. He that receiveth in stony places, says the Lord, the same is he that heareth the word and receiveth it with joy. And it could be that you receive the word of God, and in some respects you receive it with joy, and in some respects you seem to have some of the fruits of salvation. You seem to have some evidences of salvation, but really you have no salvation. Your root system isn't there, and you spring up, but after a while you receive the word with joy, but you have no roots, and you endureth but for a time. And then when difficulties come, tribulations come, trials come, persecution comes, the difficult things of the faith, you are offended and you fall away, because you never really were a Christian. And you could be somebody that's living in this world, and you might pass for a Christian in some respects, but you're like the one that's planted among the thorns, and you hear the word and you understand something of the word, but the thorns come, the briars come, the thoughts and the cares of the world come, and they choke you. And eventually you might convince yourself you're a Christian. Others might think you're a Christian, but eventually the world comes along. The deceitfulness of riches, they come, they choke the word, and you become unfruitful. And it appears to everybody that you never were a Christian, however much you might have pretended. And so the Lord Jesus Christ amplifies the point there in that parable, that we can be looking like a Christian, we can seem like a Christian for a time, and yet fall, because we were never really, truly saved. Well, the enemy sowed a seed in verse 39. Well, this parable is so wonderful, isn't it? It speaks so clearly to us. You see, we have the picture of the world, and we have things that are Christians, good seed. We have things that are not Christians, the tares. And yet, when we come to see the difference, well, what a sight it is to behold. You see, you may look around the world, you may understand something of the world, and you really have your eyes opened when you read this parable. When you see the problems of the world, when you see the crime, when you see the deceit, when you see the sin that there is, when you see the lust and the pride of life, when you see the corruption, when you see the scandal, oh, you look around and you say, what explains this? What explains this? Is it just man coming from nothing? Is it just man who has been brought about by chance, a chance of creation, a chance of evolution? Is it possible? Would it be like this if it were? Would we have conscience? Would we understand? Would there be all this sin in the world? Would there be this moral fight? So the parable teaches us so much about the current state of the world and why it is like it is. In our own life, maybe you've experienced it. You've experienced this deceitfulness, jealousy, corruption. You've experienced unkindness. All of the things that you might dislike in the world, you've experienced. And it is a great picture, isn't it? You can picture the world, and it has some wheat, it has some good fruits, it has some Christians, and yet so often we have deceitfulness, corruption, and we have this great problem of sin, and the tares grow up, and the Lord Jesus tells us that the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. Well, you have an enemy. You have an enemy, and we call him the enemy of souls, the devil, the wicked one. And it may be news to you that you have an enemy. Did you know you have an enemy? Did you know you have somebody who is doing everything he can to keep you from becoming a Christian? He's doing everything he can to stop you believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's distracting you with this and distracting you with that. I was listening to somebody recently, and they said, you know, the devil tried to keep people from the Bible in the olden days by having it in a different language. But now he does it by distraction. He gives you one thing and another to occupy your mind so that you don't think about the Bible. You don't think about the word. You have an enemy. And you may say, well, I don't feel like I have an enemy because my life is good. I'm healthy. I'm fit and I'm strong. I have healthy children or a healthy family. I have good friends. I have nice things to eat. I have a nice house, a good job. Everything in life is good. How could it possibly be that I have an enemy? And yet Satan gives you those things. Has it not occurred to you? Satan puts those things in your way so that you might get your satisfaction from them, so that you might try and be content with them, so that you might not think about matters of life and death, so that you might not be ones who want to move from this earth because life is so terrible. You're not somebody who thinks about matters of life and death because really you're happy here. You have your home in this world. Everybody's nice to you. Why would you want to leave? And so we have an enemy, and he may not seem like one to you, and yet he's doing everything he can to keep you from salvation. And you must know that. You must understand the wiles of the devil. You must understand his ways. The enemy has sowed them, and he is the devil. You see, the Lord Jesus knew. The Lord Jesus knows that that's true. The farmer knew exactly what had happened. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world. And the servants say to the people, say to the farm owner, the servants say, "What shall we do? What shall we do? Shall we pull up the tares? Shall we get rid of them?" And the man says, the owner of the wheat, the farm, he says, "No, don't do that, because when you do that, and if you do that, you might pull up also the wheat with them." And you know, don't you, when you're weeding in your garden, when you're trying to get bindweed off a flower or off a rose or something like that, when it's wound itself around so many times, it's very hard to get that weed off without damaging the flower. And the man says something similar to this. "No, do not do that, because if you do, you might damage the wheat as you pull up the tares. So don't do that. That's not the thing to do. No, because if you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest." So this is what we have now, isn't it, in our world. We have the wheat on the one hand, we have Christians, and we have non-Christians. We have the rest of the world, and they are both growing together in this world. And that's the situation we have right now. This is a parable that teaches us exactly of the time in which we live. And we may look good for now, but the harvest is coming. But also, why doesn't the Lord just destroy sin? He could. He could pull up. The Lord can do all things. He could pull up the wheat. He could pull up the tares and keep them separate, and one day will do so. But why doesn't the Lord come and end everything? Why doesn't he come and end the world? Well, there's one great reason for that, and that's because the Lord is long-suffering. That's because the Lord is patient, and the Lord wants everybody to come to repentance. And the Lord gives us time, and the Lord gives us opportunity, and the Lord gives us his word. And you are hearing it today, the gospel message. The gospel message that the Son of Man came from heaven to earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, all the glory due to his name in heaven, left it aside, emptied himself of the glory due to his name in the heavens, came to this world, came to this poor world below, and was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he preached the gospel. He demonstrated its power. And we know that if we trust in him, if we believe in him, if we confess our sins, we know that we have sins to be forgiven. Well, if we confess them to him, the Bible tells us that he will forgive them. And all of our sin that we deserve, all of our sin that deserves to take us to hell, all of that sin will be put upon him and his righteous life given to us. You see, you don't just need sins forgiven to go to heaven, but you also need to be righteous. And so the Lord Jesus takes away our sin and then makes us righteous, clothes us with his robe of righteousness so that we are fit for the kingdom. That's what he came to do. And he gives us time. He gives us time He is patient to usward, because he wants all to come to salvation. What are we doing, friend, with that offer? What do we do with the offer of salvation? Do we spurn it? Do we think it's something to be taken lightly? Do we think this is all made up? Well, the Lord Jesus gives us his word and tells us that the parable we have before us depicts us. We are either a wheat or we are a tare. And we may convince others that we look something like a Christian and yet be far away from him. And we are under the power of the enemy. We are a child of the enemy. Well, that's a sad thing. The Lord Jesus Christ explains the parable to us, and he comes to the end of the world. The enemy that has sown them is the devil, verse 39. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And so we have the great harvest, the end of the world. Friends, you need to know that one day the Lord Jesus Christ will come again. The Lord Jesus Christ will descend from heaven, and this time he won't come born of a virgin. He won't come in weakness and poverty. Oh no, he will come in glory. He will come with the angels and the trumpet and the shouts of God. And he will descend from heaven with a shout. And he will then separate the wheat from the tares. He will separate the sheep from the goats. Everybody will stand before him in judgment. There will be no kings and queens. There will be no one of any privilege, no one of any deserving. We will all stand before him, and we will be separated into two distinct groups. When will it be? We do not know. We do not know. It could be before we have sung our final hymn. It could be any time. The Lord Jesus Christ could descend again and judge us according to our deeds, whether we are truly trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, because only his deeds are good enough. Are we clothed in his righteousness? You see, the harvest is the end of the times, and the Lord Jesus Christ will come, and he will destroy this world, and he will make a new heavens and a new earth. And all those that have trusted in him will be the good seed that's bundled up and taken into the everlasting kingdom, taken into the eternal heavens, welcomed into heaven, into the reception hall there. And he will say to you, well done, come in, my good and faithful servant. And in heaven, there will be no more tares. In heaven, there will be no more pretending. It will just be for Christians, those who have believed in the Son of Man, the Son of God, who took away the sins of the world. Those who are found in him and are a child of his. Those that have been planted by him. Those who are truly Christians will go to be with him in heaven. And there will be no more tears. There will be no more sighing. There will be no more sin. But only rejoicing. Only learning more and more about him for all eternity. But friends, the reality is that for us who are not saved, for those who are not converted, and the Lord Jesus Christ comes again and you stand before him in your own merits and in your own righteousness, well, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. And we'll have to face judgment for our sin, and we'll have to go away from the presence of God into outer darkness for all eternity. And what a shame, what a sadness that would be. Because the Lord offers us a hope. He offers us eternal life. He offers us salvation here, now, in this place. And all we do is come to him. He says, come unto me and be saved, and I will give you rest. All ye that labour, and I will give you rest. Friends, we go through this life aiming for contentment. We go through this life trying to find satisfaction. And when we are unbelievers, we'll never find it with the things of the world. And we just go through life growing up and waiting for that final day. And we know, don't we, from the reaction of people when they think they're going to die, when they come to the point where they think they will slip from time into eternity, perhaps unexpectedly, perhaps in the blinking of an eye, the terror that there is, the pain in their hearts, because they know they will must stand before God and they are not converted. Oh, what a shame that would be. The Lord Jesus Christ offers us eternal life. He offers us salvation full and free. And if you pray to him and you trust in him, you will be like the seed in the parable of the sower, the good seed, the seed that's planted and brings forth fruit. And you'll have a life full of bringing forth of fruit. You'll no longer be barren. You won't need to go through life going from one thing to the next to become content and to have satisfaction with the things of the world. That will never happen. And so you have to go through life going from this to that in order to be satisfied, in order to get some satisfaction out of this world. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're satisfied knowing that your sins are forgiven. You're satisfied knowing that you have a hope of heaven. And although you may have troubles and trials in this world, yet we can pray to him and he helps us and hears us. And every day your life through, you have an answer to prayer. You have an access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If I was to say to you, you could have access to the Queen or the King today or the Prime Minister. You can phone and you can ask whatever you want. Well, most of us would take up the opportunity. And yet you have an offer here of eternal life. You have an offer of access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for all eternity. And yet we can spurn it and we can think nothing of it. We can think very lightly of it. Oh, the end of time when the Son of Man sends forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and all those things that do iniquity. Or you may have so much that offends you in your life, so much sin that even offends you as an unbeliever. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ one day will make an end of all that. And what's the promise to you if you become a Christian? Well, the promise to you is that you will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of your Father. Oh, it says here, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, it may be that you're hearing with your ears, but you're not hearing with your heart. You're hearing with your brain, but not with your feelings and your emotions, and it doesn't provide any kind of response. The kingdom of heaven is like unto the parable of the wheat and the tares. Friend, if you would wish to go to heaven, if you would wish to be righteous and shine forth like the sun, you must be converted. You must be born again. You must be transformed from something that looks like good seed into something that is good seed. You must be somebody who gives up any pretense that you have. Maybe you are like those thorns that, like those plants that grow up on the shallow ground or on the thorny ground, and you look good for a time. You must give that up. If you know in your heart that you've never trusted in the blood of the Lord Jesus, you've never confessed your sins, you're not really a new person, you don't really have a new heart, well, you must come to him and you must confess that to him, and he will change you. He will make you new, and he will make sure that you are not harmed until the day of his coming. You see, one of the reasons that the man didn't want the farmer, the owner of the land, the planter of the grain, didn't want the crops to be rooted up now was because they might be damaged. And the Lord is a wonderful picture, isn't it? You might also root up the wheat, he says, if you gather up the tares now. Leave it till the end. If you come to him, you are safe in this life. Nothing can harm you. And the Lord Jesus will keep you and he'll bless you. And he will bring you through to eternity and eternal life. So the Lord Jesus Christ puts forth to us a parable. He wants us to understand that his kingdom is a heavenly kingdom. He wants us to understand that we are either wheat or we are tares. And he wants us to understand that if we want to go from being a tare, from being a child of the devil, to being a child of God and having new life and new breath, he wants us to understand that we must come and put our trust in him, believe on him with all our hearts, confess our sins. He will forgive us of our sins and he will make us one day shine forth as the noonday in the eternal heavens. Well, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. She who has ears to hear, let her hear. And let this be a day of prayer, a day of new birth, and a day of great rejoicing when we transform, when we become new person, transformed in our inner being from death to life. May it be so for one of us here, that we may give all the praise and all the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, may it be so for his name's sake. Amen. Thank you.